What's up, mi gente? I'm Juan Ayala from Latin Babbler Show, and you're listening to Latin Arte, where we bring you exclusive interviews with rising Latin stars of the world. ¿Listos? ¡Vamos! Hello, everyone. Welcome to Latin Arte from the Latin Babbler Show. My name is Juan Ayala, one of your hosts today, and I wanted to welcome my latest co-host who's joining me for the first time on the show, Miss Cecilia Ortiz.
Hello, everyone.
So let's tell the folks listening at home a little bit about today's guest.
Joining us today is an actor from countless films and television series. You've been seen in Rambo, Last Blood, Magnum P.I., Chicago P.D., Snowfall, and The Last Ship, NCIS, and Better Call Saul.
And very soon he will be starring in not just one, but two Netflix series, making his debut in the mega hit crime drama Narcos Mexico as the corrupt politician slash money launderer and drug trafficker Carlos Hank Gonzalez, that premieres November 5th.
And then in season two of Gentified as Ernesto Morales, a new character who is returning to his neighborhood of Boyle Heights after leaving his family behind to pursue the American dream, which you can see November 11th on Netflix. Please welcome Manuel Uriza.
Manuel, welcome to Latin Arte. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dive into your upcoming projects, I want to just go back to the start of your career. So you're originally from Mexico City and later moved to Miami. When is it that you started your acting career? When did you get bitten by the acting bug?
The acting bug came and bit me and when I wasn't even paying attention, to be honest with you, because it's the weirdest story. I did move to Miami initially from Mexico City. My path into acting was so unorthodox. A friend of mine, when I was in Miami, called me and said to me, hey, they're shooting the show Burn Notice, that it was very popular during its run. And he said, they're shooting this show and there's the scenes, I think, on the beach and they're looking for background people and it's our day off. So why don't we go there? And they give us like $100 just to hang out in the beach. I was like, hey, $100, let's do it, right? So then I end up going to the stages the next day because you had to sign a release or something like that. And when I get there, there's like a line of people standing, going into a room and they're going in one after another, one after another. It takes them like 10 seconds each, right? So when I go in, I walk in there and there's this couch and this camera and people there like sitting in the couches, like looking at us. And honestly, to me, it didn't register because I never had anything to do with acting in my life. And they tell me, stand there where the X is. So I stand and they ask me my name, where I was from. And then one of the gentlemen that was sitting in the couch struck a conversation with me. So where are you from? And it was talked about the weather and about all kinds of random stuff, right? So we talked for about 20 minutes. So then when I go out, a lady comes chasing after me. She's like, hey, they want to see you for something else. It pays more money. And I was like, all right. And my buddy that was with me says like, oh my God, they probably want you to be like the guy that brings the drinks and says like, here's your drinks. They're going to pay you like $1,000, man. I was like, no, oh my God. You know, I felt like I made it. And I get home and they send me the sides that I was supposed to read for. I had no idea even what sides were. And they sent me like 10 pages of sides, right? And I, as naive as I was, I emailed back this lady. It's like, I got like 10 pages. I don't know which one is the one that you want me to read. And she's like, all of them? I'm like, oh, yeah. And I even told them like, well, look, I don't want to waste your time. I'm not an actor. So maybe you're, and she tells me like, look, I'm just the one sending the pages, all right? I can't help you. So then I called my friend. I said, look, they send me these things. I don't know what's happening. Like, I'll be right over. So he comes over and he like tells me, you do this and here you do that. And then, so he just gave me, like, he just pretty much coached me through the whole thing. So the next day I go back and I did exactly what my friend told me to, like beat by beat. And then when we're done, I was like, wow, that's amazing. This is what actors do. Wow. Well, that was an experience. All right. You know, check it off the list. Now I know what actors do. And as I'm driving, I get a call. And they tell me like, hi, we're calling from Burn Notice. We're trying to book you, but we can't find your reps. I'm like, well, I don't I don't have any reps. You want to book me for what? Turns out it was like the main guest star of the show.
Wow.
And so I was shocked. I was like, sure. So then when I show up to the set like 2 months later, because it was for another episode, it's so funny because I get there, right? And I'm following the signs like, okay, parking for crew over there. And, you know, park like 5 blocks away. And then I'm walking with everybody. And then I see everybody standing in a line, kind of signing up at a table. And I stand in line and I was like, well, they told me to be here at 8 o'clock and it's 8:15. But hey, I was here at 8. I'm just standing in line. So when I get to the front of the line, they ask me your name. I said, well, Manuel Uriza. And the guy looks and says like, ah, sorry, I don't have your name. I'm like, oh, well, they told me to show up at 8. Did I get the day wrong? And then a girl that was sitting next to this guy, kind of her, my name must have, you know, rung a bell. And she looks at me. She's like, oh, no. So I'm sorry, you're over here. And took me to a trip. So I was standing on the line of the background people. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I show up to set. And the first scene we do is the same scene that I did during the audition. It was with the main character. And I just did the exact same thing. And they were like, okay, cut, moving on. I'm like, oh my God, this is so fun. They're going to send me a bill. They're going to ask me to pay for their time here. And that's how it got started. And later I learned, because I became really good friends with the guy that was talking to me, was the showrunner. And he said, the thing is that I wrote this character, he said, months ago. And we'd already been auditioning people. We had our choices. But when I heard you speak, the minute you opened your mouth, the rhythm and the sound of your voice was exactly how I imagined this character. Since that's why I decided to take a chance on you. And I mean, what a chance that was, right? And now he's become one of my best friends, Alfredo Barrios Jr. Uh-huh. And that was it. And Alfredo, by the way, is a big champion of Latin artists, He's such a talented writer, showrunner, producer. But that's how it got started, man. I never imagined it in 1,000 years, and yet here we are.
That's every extra's dream, is hoping that they get to, you know, they get, because I, you know, I'm an actor as well. I've seen it happen when I was still working as an extra from time to time. You know, they'd randomly be like, hey, who's SAG? Who can say this one line? If you're SAG, come over. They just do like an on-the-spot audition. Every actor's dream, but to go from an extra to then a guest star, and, you know, 10 years later, you're on two shows. Like, that's...
Like, exactly.
Incredible. Really, really incredible.
And I guess, honestly, the moral of the story is that just you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. You never know who you're auditioning in front of. Even if it's a one line, even if it's just to be background, you have no idea who's watching. That's, I guess, the moral that I take.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. And then you went to guest star and recur in a number of other shows. We mentioned a few at the beginning of the show, from Castle and Lethal Weapon to Snowfall and Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to ask you if you have a favorite from any of those earlier roles?
Well, honestly, Burn Notice appearance to me is dear to my heart, because it literally changed my life. Mm-hmm. And not only professionally, but it also introduced me to, like I said, one of my best friends now, Alfredo. So that one is dear to my heart. And all of those projects that you mentioned, it's really hard to pinpoint one, because what's exhilarating to me out of all these things is meeting these talented creatives, you know, producers, directors, writers, other actors. And the exhilaration for me is that sense of collaboration, that tug of war, that very healthy tug of war, artistically speaking, that I think it makes it difficult to pinpoint one. So to answer your question, I'll tell you what my grandfather used to say to me, that he would tell my mother and her siblings when they were kids. They were like, well, Dad, you don't love me. He's like, look, I have 3 kids, 3 fingers, cut one off, tell me which one doesn't hurt. So it's, you know, you can't really differentiate them.
So your character in Narcos Mexico, is a politician and businessman by day and a money launderer and drug trafficker by night. And while that sounds like, you know, every other villain on this type of show, you know, whether it's an English or a Spanish language show, Narcos has the you know, the incredible writing team on the show makes these sort of villainous antagonists multidimensional. They're not just like a Bond villain that's like, you know, muhahaha and that's it. They're evil and that's it. Mm-hmm. They almost make them relatable, mm-hmm. which is scary to try and think like, oh, I've got so much in common with this guy. Like, should I? So yeah, I'm sure it's very under wraps, but if there is anything you can tell us about your character, Carlos Hank Gonzalez, what can you share?
Well, he was a very interesting individual because the truth of Carlos Hank is that he was one of the most powerful politicians in Mexico. And not only during the 90s, which is where the season kind of takes place in that decade, but way before that, from the 70s, 80s, this was a man that went from nothing, literally from selling candy in the street to becoming what he became, which was, like I said, one of the most influential politicians in Mexico. And the only reason he didn't become president of Mexico is because his father was German. And under Mexican constitution, your parents need to be Mexican born as well. Mm. But he, even with that, he still exercised a great deal of influence in the Mexican political arena. And we see this in full display. We see this in full display. And I think you hit it on the head, how they make these characters relatable. But the interesting thing is that with the research that I did and the little bit of experience that I had as a kid of meeting Carlos Hank Gonzalez, I must have been like 9 years old. I got to tell you that the man was relatable. He was very relatable. And it's definitely a kudos to the writers for making these, like you said, like making him jump out of the page, not staying, like you said, like the Bond villain, just you're bad because you're just bad. You know, that's the nature of it. But these characters always operate from a human from a human base. And this is my opinion that everything a human does, it comes from emotion, and we all have emotions. And everybody does things, good or bad, to somebody else's eyes that are justified. There's an emotional justification for what you do. Mm. And the writers and creators of Narcos are very in tune with that. And it shows. It shows in their characters, and it definitely shows on Hank.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess.
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
It's interesting because, you know, as an actor, I remember, you know, when I was in college and whatnot, they always said that those brilliant performances you get from the actors who play the villains, they don't see themselves as the villains. Like you said, there is that intention behind what they do, whether it's passion or whatever it is. It's never like, I'm the bad guy and I'm evil. They never think they are. It's always that sort of multidimensionalness. And I'm really excited to see this existing story sort of fold out and this heightened version. And also wanted to ask again, because we had seen recently that, you know, one of the biggest Latin artists in the world right now, Bad Bunny, is in the season of the show. Did you get to work with him at all?
We didn't get to work together because our characters don't cross paths in the story. But I mean, everything is connected, and I did get to meet him a little bit. And I can tell you one thing though, the guy is an artist through and through, but through and through, you will see, people will see a side of him that they're not used to, aside from being the musical genius that he is. You will really see an artist at work, being able to jump into somebody else's shoes and at the same time bring a side of him that nobody's seen. And I think it's, if you're not a Bad Bunny fan, you're going to become one, I guarantee you, because the man is an artist.
That's so cool. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait for the season the way as it was.
Oh, you'll see. You'll see.
Both of you guys on it. And with your character in Gentified, Ernesto Morales, he left his family behind to chase his own American dream. We see him this season trying to make amends with his son, Chris, who is on his own journey for the modern American dream looks like. What can you tell us about Ernesto and what we'll be seeing of him this season?
Ernesto is, like you described him, I think, perfectly. From my perspective, and this is a character that really hit home for me, because for the first time in all of the characters that I've been able and lucky and blessed enough to portray in this crazy journey I'm in, this is the one that hits home the most because it's the one that's the closest to me. We're very similar. I feel we have the same fears. We get our feelings hurt the same way. There's so many similarities. So this is a character who's very, very, very human, very down to earth. That I think, as in my own personal experience in my life, comes to bridge a gap between not only two generations, because I think I'm of the generation that's stuck, not stuck, because it's not the word stuck, but we're just placed in between two very contrasting generations, as I suppose the baby boomers are, and then the millennials and down. And we're in my generation is in the middle. So we have a little bit of a peripheral vision of both generations' wants and needs. And I think Ernesto's exactly that. And also on another level, which also hits home to me, is that he is through and through Mexican, and at the same time is through and through American. And that's something out of in my own life, in my own experience, it's something that I feel. I am 100% Mexican. I was born and raised in Mexico, but I always had very close ties to this country, the United States. And now I've been here for over 20 years consistently, and it's my home and it's my culture and I feel part of it. But at the same time, I'm still 110% Mexican, and I can see both sides of the coin. And it's a little bit, as you'll see in Gentified for Ernesto, it's lonely sometimes there, trying to bridge the gap between these two generations and these two cultures. And this season of Gentified, it's going to be great. I'm telling you what, if you like season one, you're going to love season two. I think they really picked up their game. Oh yeah, they picked up their game.
They did.
And the direction, I can't even tell you how on cloud nine I was and still am, being directed by America Ferrara. Talk about another artist through and through. She's amazing. And the writers, Marvin and Linda, they picked up their game seriously. And they're such an example. I'm so proud to be part of it, of what the Latin artistry community has to offer. Yes. Stepping away from the typical, either you're the criminal, like you said, or you're the victim, or you're, you know, it's always like one dimensional. And here they have this very unique ability to just insert a character into your everyday American life, way of living, problems, hurts, heartbreaks, which just happen to be Mexican.
It's such an interesting, you know, the whole generational aspect of it. Can be very binary. Those who are born here, like I'm the child of immigrants, but I was born in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents came from El Salvador, and just very different experience from them. And then some of my older cousins who were born in El Salvador, but then came here as kids or as teenagers, just very different. I'm very excited to see that different aspect, because there is no sort of single experience. Every immigrant experience is different. Every Latino's experience is different. Every mm-hmm. American's experience is different. I really love that they're really fleshing that out this season. That's really awesome.
Absolutely. And what you say, I think, is very important, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings and we all feel the same. It doesn't matter what language you speak or where you were born. You know, the feelings, the emotion, the human context is always there. And I'm so happy that they're giving us a platform to be part of that conversation.
Manuel, I'm not sure if you knew, but November, you know, they often call it Movember, and it's meant to sort of raise awareness for three health issues that plague men specifically, one of which is men's mental health. And sadly, mental health is still raging within the Latin community. Mental health is not something that is talked about a lot, unfortunately. It's, you know, especially with the machismo culture we're raised in, it's suppress your emotions, don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. So whether you've gone through your own struggle or if you know someone else that has, are there any words of encouragement that you can provide to your fellow Latinos?
Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that, because I just finished a film called Deadland that we just shot, just finished a couple of weeks ago in Oklahoma. And I don't know how much of it I can reveal, but I think the takeaway for me is the mental health aspect of it. That it's so sad to sometimes see that as a society, a part of us has become a little bit desensitized to the health, mental health problems. It's so easy for us to kind of look away when somebody that's suffering from this type of ailment crosses our path. It's so easy to jump over them when they're homeless in the street. And that's because we should never be desensitized to this. And getting ready for this role that I was just telling you about in this film, I try to engage with a lot of people. And it's sad, but there's a lot of people to engage, especially in Los Angeles, that are suffering from this. And they're forgotten. They feel forgotten. And the takeaway I take, or what I would really want to convey, is that if mental health is real, number one, it's not a choice. You didn't choose to do something that led you there. It's an illness, and it's serious. And it's in us to help, to make a difference, to help eradicate it. And I engaged with a lot of people that are homeless, that are suffering from mental health, and it broke my heart. It always has broken my heart. It rebroke it in 1,000 pieces, because any fear, anything that makes anybody uncomfortable about somebody with mental health or talking about mental health, let me tell you, whatever you feel, they're feeling it 10 times fold. They're more scared. They're more hurt. They feel forgotten. They feel ignored. They feel set aside. And this is a society that it's not sustainable. If we cannot reach into our humanity, into our hearts, and give our brothers and sisters a lending hand, because we're not in that position simply because we're lucky. That's it. You didn't win anything. You're not this special person. You're just lucky that you're not in their shoes, and you can't ignore it.
Yeah, that's deep. Thank you for saying that. That's wow.
Yeah.
Representation is a big part of what we focus on with all our content. Our goal with Latin Arte is to showcase Latin artists. Representation is better known now than it was back in the day. Do you remember the first time you saw a performance that made you feel represented?
The first time that I saw a performance that made me feel I was being represented, it did. And it's... this is so, oh my God, you're making me go down memory lane, and this is amazing. I hadn't thought this in years. When I was a kid, there was a show called, and you guys are not even going to, you're not even remotely going to be near this one, but it was a show called Flamingo Road in the 70s, I think. And there was a Mexican actor, Fernando Allende, that was featured in it. And I remember as a kid watching it, And seeing this man who's Mexican and kind of looked like me and sounded like me, but yet he was there with all these stars and in TV and all this, and yet he looked so comfortable. He looked like he belonged, and that made me feel inspired. I was like, well, yeah, right. I mean, that's us. What's the difference between them and me? Nothing. When you look inside, we're just human. So I think that was the first ever experience of me seeing an artist. I was like, oh, wow. He, you know, it's, we belong. We're all the same.
Right. I agree.
So our last question for you, Manuel, you know, with such a long and successful career, are there any words of wisdom or advice that you can share with any of the young actors that might be tuning in?
Absolutely. Like I said, there is never any small role or gig or opportunity or audition or street performance or just simply doing a video in your house, on your room, in your couch by yourself. You never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. And the one thing that I wish that all young performers are going into this can take with them is that you don't have to try and play what you think what people want to see from you. At the end of the day, they just want to see you. You as you are, whatever language you speak, whatever is your preferences, your tendencies, your goals, your dreams, you are very unique. And there's only one like you. And you're human, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a human being that knows who they are, that accepts who they are, most importantly. So my thing that I could tell a young person coming into this is don't doubt who you are. If you accept who you are, people have no choice but to accept you back. And you are unique. And don't ever, ever, ever forget that or let anybody make you feel that way, different. Because if anybody tries to make you feel different or wants to tell you that you need to be a certain way so that you can have a certain type of success, they're a little tone deaf. At the end of the day, that's not the truth. They want to see you.
Thank you. That was a very humbling answer. Thank you.
Really? Thank you so much, Manuel. Thank you for joining us today on Latin Arte. Where can folks find you on Instagram if they want to give you a follow?
Oh, yes. They can find me and Manuel Urisa on Instagram and Twitter at Urisa Lord-Manuel.
You can follow me at Chechi510 on Instagram.
And you can add me at Juan Ayala Official.
Don't miss Manuel Urisa in Narcos Mexico Season 3, premiering November 5th on Netflix.
And also on Season 2 of Hentified, premiering November 11th on Netflix.
Head on over to LatinBabbler.com to check out the rest of our awesome content.
And subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.